Galatians chapter 1. Begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now notice, churches of Galatia. Not the church in Galatia, but churches in Galatia. Local, Scripture, New Testament churches, all with the same origin, the same lineage, back to the first church that Jesus built. They come forth from that church. And these are each individual independent churches. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And he's deserving of all the honor and all the glory, as the God of heaven and the God of creation, as well as the God-man, the only man who fulfilled the law, the only man who could lay his life down as a payment for sins because of the sinless life that he lived and was able to live. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Evidently, the church at Galatia had some that were trying to pull them off of the true gospel and persuade them to, it says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Gospel must be pretty important, huh? Yeah. It's pretty important that we preserve the true gospel and that we don't have a perverted gospel, or we're not influenced or caught up by a perverted gospel. Serious. He says, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men of or God, or do I seek to release men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Paul wanted them to understand. He's not preaching the gospel of man. He's preaching the gospel of God. That's what we need to be concerned with today. We don't need to preach the gospel of men, and there's many gospels out there of men, and we'll hit that in a minute. We want to be sure we're preaching the gospel of God. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen, the revelation of Christ is his holy word. And we have the revelation of Christ in all scripture that was given by inspiration of God. And so the things that we do according to the word of God, and this is keeping the letter of the law. Too many of the Lord's people today, and even his churches, are disregarding the letter of the law. In other words, if God says it, he meant it, and so we ought to be doing it. If God says it, he meant what he said, and we ought to be practicing it. Not just closely, but it's either black or it's white. There's no gray area. There's no in between. If he said, thou shalt not kill, then we shall not kill. If he, and by the way, that's not commit murder. And if he says that we shall not commit adultery, we should not commit adultery. Whatever that he has laid down, we're to keep it and keep it totally. You say, well, as a sinner, we can't do it. But we can strive continually and totally, and that's what God expects us to do, is to strive until he gives us the victory. The gospel is here that we might have a victory over this old sinful being that we are today. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't receive it from man. There is an abundance of false gospels in this world that we're living in today. They're floating around here everywhere. Everything from visualization to yoga, it comes to be, or it claims to be the end all way of the to the peace of God. And in many cases, the destiny of eternal souls are being dictated by the current winds, rather, of spiritual fashion, astronomy, neurology, or numerology, meditation, techniques, hypnosis, positive affirmationism, and the New Age movement. And all of these and others that have cropped up are going to send men to hell. Works for salvation, baptism for salvation, and so forth and so on. You're good outweighing your bad for salvation. Peter waited at the Golden Gate. Well, I hope I'm good enough. I've been good enough for him to let me in. Peter's not standing at a Golden Gate, and he's not deciding who's going in, who's going out. That's decided in this world today. Where you're going eternally is decided today. Hopefully it's already been decided. You've believed the true gospel and you know the Lord is your Savior. If you don't, you better believe the true gospel. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to God. And there's only one way to freedom, to peace, contentment, satisfaction. Not having to use the things that men use today to prop themselves up and make it through the enduring of this life. Jesus proclaimed in Mark 1 and verse number 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Amen. Some might ask, what is the gospel? Or what gospel? The answer is the only gospel that God ever gave mankind. He only gave one gospel. He didn't give two or three. And by the way, we're to be careful that the true gospel is not perverted. The only gospel that God gave is scriptural. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The scriptural definition of the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter and the first four verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first four verses says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I declare unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the gospel. There's a condition there. It must be according to God's. What Paul say? He received it by. Yeah. In essence, Paul received it directly from God. What gospel is that? He says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Now, if it's not according to the scripture, it's not. And then, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. Scriptural definition is how that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again for our justification according to the scripture. Amen. You say, well, all of these churches out here, they preach that same thing. When you boil them right down, brother, you're going to find that good works is there. It's attached. You know, we have a whole worldwide religious organization that teaches us 5 steps to baptism. The last one is, or 5 steps to salvation, rather. The last one is baptism. And if you're not baptized, you don't get saved. So that makes works for salvation, no matter what the other 5 steps are. And God only gave 1 step. And that's to believe in Jesus Christ with your heart. Believe that he was God who came in the flesh. Believe that he died for your sins. Believe that he was buried and rose again for your justification. Any teaching of salvation or spiritual attainment that is not supported by the scripture is not of God. If it's not in here, these 66 books, this is the completed word of God. It is the revealed will of God. It is the means by which God is using through man, his New Testament church and church members, to proclaim to the world that the world might be saved, to proclaim the true gospel, plus nothing, minus nothing. The only gospel that he gave is strict. Webster's defines strict as exact. Careful now. But just suppose the circumstances are like this. Just suppose church couldn't get a preacher to, a God called preacher to administer baptism. Just suppose. What should we do? We should do what the scripture teaches, and we should accept that maybe God didn't intend that individual to get scriptural baptism. Yeah. You know, it's possible for a man to sin away the day of grace. Cut it any way you want to slice it, but if you cut it the other way, you're making room for compromise. You're making room for error. Exact, precise, not loose, not vague or broad. Matthew 7:13. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. And by the way, that straight gate's Jesus. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now Jesus is the straight. That's that narrow entrance into that narrow way. If you don't come into that straight, if you don't come in through Jesus, you can't get to the other. The straight gate is described in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of man, it's of God. And notice how that the Spirit through Paul emphasized that over and over again to the church at Galatia. He didn't receive what he was given them from man. He received it from God by revelation. It was revealed to him by God. It was given to him. In other words, God spoke through him. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no room for compromise in the gospel. Look at Galatians 1 again. Verses 6 through 9. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Removed from Christ. I'm amazed, he says, that you're so soon removed. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said, therefore, so say I now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's the exact, precise gospel. That's the gospel plus nothing, minus nothing. According to the scripture, as the scripture has revealed it. And what it reveals, by grace through faith, not by works. Some people want to include Christianity out here in these so-called churches. Brother, the scripture will exclude their means of salvation in most cases. And if you get beyond salvation, they're way off. The only gospel is simple. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Sin results in death. Romans 6:23, the wage of sin is death. But thank God he didn't stop there. He said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel presents Christ and Christ only. It presents Christ as the only means and only way of salvation. That's reality. There is no other way. Mankind has no other way to reach God than through Jesus. In Romans 10:17, the seed must be sown in order to bear fruit. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Means of salvation is the word of God. Outside of that, there is none. It's like salvation is in Jesus alone. The source of salvation is the word of God. There is no other in either case. The Spirit convicts. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Or rather, John 16, beginning with verse 7. John chapter 16 and 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And that Comforter is none less than the Holy Spirit of God. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So that word brings the convicting of the Holy Spirit. And the Father, through that conviction, draws man to come to Jesus and to accept him. Look at John 6 and verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." The Spirit of God convicts and draws all men. The Son saves. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." The only gospel is sufficient to free us. John 8, verse number 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Freed from the bondage of sin. Free from the condemnation of sin. Freed from the eternal, everlasting results of sin. Freed from being separated from God and love and the joy and rejoicing. Freed from a life that will bring you to a place where that is not seen or heard tell of. "The Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed." It will cleanse us in 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." It's that will, the gospel that he gave will save us. Acts 4 and 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He's able to keep us. Look at John 10, verses 27 through 29. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, God's word says, the scripture that's given by inspiration, God says that he gave eternal life to those of his sheep, those that are saved by his grace through this true gospel that he gave. "And they shall never perish." Now, God, who cannot lie, he says you got eternal life. He says you're free from condemnation. You're free from a fear of going to hell and suffering eternally. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." No one has the power to take the salvation away that God has given eternally. You say, well, where are they punished for their sins? They're punished in this life. They'll answer and they'll suffer at the judgment seat of Christ. Because listen, tears are not passed, taken out of the way from God's people until the new heaven, new earth comes down. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, brother, that's security of the believer. That's what God says. And he said even more in Paul's writing to the church at Rome. And listen, security of the believer, as it's called, when Jesus saves, he saves entirely. The only thing is there's time between when the old earthly body is laid down and the new one comes up. We are redeemed inwardly, immediately. And that seed that remains in us doesn't commit sin. But that old nature of ours in this physical body does. And this is paid for in this life and sufferings in this life and again at the judgment. So by the way, those that think, well, how are people going to be punished for sin? Their punishment's coming. That's why he warns so many times that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's all the saved. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an answer. And believe me, the misery and the suffering that we go through in this life is because of sin. Now, not all of it is because of our sin, but sin in general. But then we can make that even worse by continuing to sin. What's behind all this? Again, we're going right back to God created man for his pleasure or to please him. Created him in his image and likeness. Made him a being like God. A being who can reason, can think, and can take and go way beyond any other creature that's created in this world. All the animals are dumb brutes. And by the way, we may act like dumb brutes sometimes, but we did not come from them. They were not made in the image and likeness of God. We were. Why? So God wanted a people, and one of these days he's going to have it. Whether you and I are there or not, it's up to us. But one of these days he's going to have a people that are going to voluntarily and willingly for all of eternity worship and serve him and do it rejoicing. God does not want us forced to pay honor and to respect him. He wants us to do it willingly because what he's done for us. He didn't have to create us in our mother's womb. He didn't have to see us up to the age that we're at. But because he loves us and by his grace, he brought us there. Now all this other stuff, sin is what's done it. Sadly, a lot of religion today wants to blame God for it. It's not God's fault. If you're suffering this morning, it's not God's fault. It's yours. Yeah. In what way? We're living in a world where that even God's people, Brother Cooper pointed out this morning, are so depressed. Man, we're so miserable, and we express that, and a lot of it is genuine, it's concern because of the condition of things. But listen, we already have the victory in him. If you know the Lord is your Savior, you're eternally safe. If you know the Lord is your Savior, one day you're going to come to it and rejoice. We may have to suffer a little bit in this life, in the flesh, but one day, the victory is ours. This old short period of time called this life, we need to quit mourning. We need to rejoice that we're still being able to live it, because there's a whole lot that aren't. And we need to be really rejoicing because he saved our soul and we have hope, and there's a lot that don't have. And sadly, there are even those that have a false hope, think they do, but they really don't, because they've not humbled themselves and really repented of their sins and by faith trust Christ as their Savior. And by the way, when he saves you, he changes you. Yeah. Yeah, you have that battle inside. The old nature and the new nature, Galatians 5. If you don't have that battle, or you never run victory over that old nature, you maybe have believed and trusted in a gospel that God didn't give. Let's stand. If you're here this morning, the Spirit of God convicts your heart, come to Jesus. Come repenting of your sins and by faith trusting him as your Savior. Come willing to turn from self and sin, to turn from having your way, to letting him have his way, and that with all of your heart. There has to be a total commitment to the Lord in order for one to get saved. There has to be a total surrender. And for one to live his life in service for the Lord after he's saved, there has to be a total commitment. He has to surrender totally to the will of God in his life. Remember, Paul said, I didn't receive it from man. It's not the will of man. It's the will of God. Now, we want to transfer it to man and blame him for all of our problems, brother. Man's not to blame. God's not to blame. We are. And until we're willing to take responsibility for that, got to keep on living in misery. Whatever the need is in your life this morning, come to Jesus. He can change things if you're willing to let him.